Daniel chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. The Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, "Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. This morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we do recognize that you are the one and the sole being who deserves all honor and glory and praise. But Father, we thank you that we can honor you through our giving. We thank you that we can honor you as well through our going, by coming and being a part of God's house. And Lord, as we have opportunity now of garnering truth from your word, I pray that this too would be for your honor and for your glory. Speak to every heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we all know, summer is upon us, and with it comes many temptations to loosen things up a bit. We tend to crank up the AC, perhaps spend a little more time on a Sunday afternoon nap. And for some of us, yes, it's hard to admit, but we even loosen the belt a little for all of those delicious cookouts, picnics, barbecues that come with the season. But I remind us this morning that there is one area of our lives that should not be loosened. In fact, it should be guarded even more. And that is regarding our spiritual walk with God. Now, we have before us here an interesting text because we find Daniel not in what you would consider to be friendly turf. He's in enemy territory. He is a prisoner of the Babylonian soldiers. And as a prisoner, obviously, he is subject to the demands of those who are over him. He doesn't have the freedom to decide what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it, that he had prior to captivity. Nevertheless, Daniel made a deliberate decision. He purposed that he was going to live godly. And what we need today in 2010 more than ever is a people composed of men, women, teenagers, and young people who are purposing in their hearts to live for God. And what a thrill it is to understand as we study the scriptures that really there are a lot of things that are very similar to the circumstances under which you and I find ourselves today. And the wonderful part is that the one thing that is absolutely the same is the same power that enabled Daniel to do what by many would have been thought of as impossible is still in effect today and can cause the child of God to live in a purposeful, godly fashion if we but follow the example of this great man of God. First of all, we have to understand that purposeful, godly living proceeds from the heart. Purposeful, godly living proceeds from the heart. You know, when we think about trying to accomplish goals in our life, I think at the beginning of the year, all of us perhaps have made a list of different resolutions and things that we want to accomplish, goals that we want to strive for. The young people today who are graduating have set a goal years ago of finally getting through all of their schooling. And they can see it. They had a purpose to all of those tests and projects and reports. There was a purpose to all those homework assignments. And they are about to accomplish what they have set after. Do you realize this morning that if you and I are going to be what God wants us to be, if we are going to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, if we are going to have a summer that truly brings honor and glory to our Lord, as has been sung this morning, that the only way that's going to happen is that it happens in a purposeful fashion proceeding from our heart. You see, godliness does not happen by accident. Godliness doesn't happen by accident. That's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, his son in the faith, refuse profane and old wives' fables. That is, don't give heed to what society may dictate to you, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And here we are some 700 years before the Apostle Paul, and we find a man who was concerned about living in a fashion that was pleasing to God. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart. Why was it that Daniel purposed in his heart? It was because his life was not guided by the pressure of worldly influences, but by the principles of a holy God. You see, when we talk about living for God, and we talk about seeking to make a difference in our world, and we talk about seeking to demonstrate that yes, we still can maintain standards of holiness and godliness, the only way we can accomplish that is to the extent that that decision emanates from not our heads, but our hearts. It's very easy for any of us to conform to a set of rules when others are watching. But yet the test of our character comes when no one else is around and God is watching. We think about seeking to demonstrate to this world that yes, Jesus Christ makes a difference. That yes, you can look forward to spending an eternity in a real place called heaven. And the only way we're going to accomplish making a difference in this world is by determining from our hearts that we are not going to compromise God's standards of holiness. The Bible tells us that we are to keep our heart in Proverbs 4:23 with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, you see couples today that quote-unquote fall out of love. Well, I would submit to you this morning that it truly is an issue of the heart. It's a matter of not keeping their heart where God wanted them to keep their heart, focused on their spouse, focused on being all that God wants them to be, but rather looking at themselves and saying, I'm no longer satisfied, I no longer enjoy this relationship, so I'm going to go out and follow my own desires. The same thing can happen regarding our Christian walk. You see, if you and I are not at the onset of this summer deciding with God's power, with the Holy Spirit working through us, that yes, I am going to purpose to live godly for my Lord this summer, then I'm afraid to say it's probably not going to happen. You know, you think about all of the influences of the world and the devil around us, and what a joy it is to know that as you and I continue to contemplate the principles laid out in God's Word, we can follow God. We can purpose to live godly with all of our hearts. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119 in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You have to ask yourself, why was Daniel so concerned about the diet that was being dictated to them regarding what they were supposed to be eating? Of course, keeping in mind that the king and the prince of the eunuchs that was there, his thought was that this diet would help them to be that much more alert, to help them to be that much more keen, to be able to make wise decisions and therefore give wise advice and counsel to the king as he would request it. But Daniel was mindful of the words of the law. Daniel was mindful of what was taking place here. And we have to understand that there was nothing wrong with meat in and of itself. But Daniel knew that this meat was coming from a pagan land, was coming from food that would have been more than likely offered to idols. And Daniel knew that that would defile his testimony. And as a result, he was determined not to participate in that. Daniel also undoubtedly knew of the scripture's deliberate admonitions regarding strong drink and knew that if he were to imbibe the king's wine, that that would also defile the Lord and his testimony. We think about today seeking to be what God wants us to be and seeking to live by the principles that are laid out in God's law. What a joy it is to know that as we do seek to purpose in our hearts, then we will understand that purposeful godly living also promotes the praise of God upon us. Because as he has made this decision, a very difficult one, but he's determined to do what is right by God. Then we see both in verse 9 and in verse 17 that God blessed him. Verse 9 says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And in verse 17, "God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." If you're a child of God today, you can thank God that you are not in this struggle alone. That you and I do not have to live in a carnal world and somehow hope to be spiritual all on our own strength. But as you and I do what God's Word has taught us to do, as we seek to apply God's standards of holiness to our lives, then God will pour out His blessings upon us. And there's no greater place to be than in the perfect center of God's will, knowing that to the best of your ability, you are seeking to live in a godly fashion for the Lord's honor and for His glory. But you see, as Daniel determined to live godly, he effected a positive spiritual change on those who were around him. All of these other eunuchs that were there that had been rounded up to be able to serve the king, they are now having their diet changed as a result of the spiritual decision that Daniel had made. And this pulse is believed to have been some type of a vegetable dish that they were eating here. And trying again to show a clear separation from what would have been offered unto those false idols. But now, Daniel's life has spread to the others. And that's why, as God is talking about His blessings here regarding these men, it says God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Do you realize the effect of your testimony? If you determine today that you are going to live in a godly fashion throughout this summer, the testimony that you can have on the lives of others around you that may not even know the Lord? What a joy it is to know that God can work in and through us. Of course, we may not always think about it, but there are others who are observing our spiritual conduct. Our Lord and Savior told us in Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." I would ask you, what difference is the salt of your life making on this world? Our Savior continues, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." If others today were to come and describe you, a coworker, a neighbor, an unsaved relative, would they look at you as someone who is dedicated to doing what the Bible says? Would they look at you as someone who, although they may not agree with you, is determined to do what God says in His holy word? Would they know that there is a difference about you? We think in terms of our living for God. Can it have an impact on others? We realize that it can very much have an impact on those that are around us, outside of our home, but so too can it also happen inside the home. Because that's why our Lord and Savior so desired for Peter to write, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," that is, be unsaved, "they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." That's their manner of living. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." So what difference is your life going to make this year? This summer, more specifically, for our Lord's honor and glory? How will others know more about God as a result of your testimony? We think in terms of the praise of God that can come upon us. But also, we have to keep in mind that purposeful godly living does not preclude problems. Purposeful godly living does not preclude problems. You know the story. You're familiar what happened to Daniel later on in his life as the king changed and another king came. And after that change, Daniel's faith was tested yet again. When the decree was given that the only one to be worshipped was King Nebuchadnezzar himself. Daniel had a decision to make. Was he going to worship the king, or was he going to determine to purpose to serve God? And so, as his custom was, he still went to the window of his house and three times a day prayed before God and was cast immediately as a result of his spirituality, of his separated godly living, cast into a den of lions. Not exactly an exciting thought. And yet God was with him. And those three men, in terms of their desire of seeking to worship the one true God, found themselves cast into a burning fiery furnace. So hot that those who had come and cast them into the furnace died from the heat. And yet as those men there were not willing to compromise on the standards of holiness, of worshiping the one true God, they enjoyed God's blessings and God's presence. But I ask you today, you know, we think about this summer and we realize that there's certainly going to be a lot of temptations that are out there. There are a lot of things that can lure us in an ungodly direction and can happen in the most subtle fashion, can happen when you're least suspecting it. We think in terms of Daniel. He did not allow what was happening around him to have a negative impact on his spiritual walk. Think of Paul's admonition to Timothy, as he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, "Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." As Christians, we have a responsibility of maintaining a difference, of watching what it is that we are doing with our time, with our energy, how we are spending that. Which is why the Bible reminds us in 1 John chapter 2, we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What is your purpose this summer? Are you going to determine right now, I am going to live for God. I am not going to give in to whatever pitfalls may present themselves on my path. We think of everything that can happen. You think of the dulling of our senses. Those who say, there's no dangers out there. There's nothing to worry about out there. I can live however I want. I'm saved. We think of apathy and how easy it is for apathy to creep into our hearts and lives and to say, well, it doesn't really matter. I've got my ticket into heaven. Oh, but it does matter. Because you see, we're going to stand and give an account before that holy God someday. And our lives will be measured by not the world's standards, but by God's standards of holiness. We will find ourselves woefully short if we have attempted to live according to the lust of the flesh. We think of those who would use the excuse that everybody else is doing it. What difference does it make? Oh, but it makes a tremendous difference. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 by way of reminder of the very familiar verses there given to us regarding our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, your purpose will determine the power of your testimony. Fashions may quickly promote immodesty, but God promotes holiness. Hemlines may rise, necklines may plunge, but God's standards are unchanging. Peer pressure may seem daunting, but God's power is unwavering. Maybe a strong temptation to say it doesn't matter. I can dress how I want. I can live how I like. It's the summertime. But keep in mind, God is alive in the summer just as much as He is in the wintertime. And God is watching our conduct today just as much as He was yesterday, just as much as He will be tomorrow. So it's not a matter of seeking to please man. It's not a matter of seeking to conform to the standards that would be laid out upon me by some person at church, by some other individual. But it's a matter of reflecting on the standards that are laid out for me by God alone. And realizing that I will be held to those standards someday. And realizing that God is watching my conduct. God does see how I act. God is mindful of whether my desire is from my heart to do what is right. Or simply because I have certain standards that may be imposed upon me by others. Forgetting about our Lord and Savior. There's a strong danger to avoid in becoming casual toward God. There's a danger in slacking off in our personal devotions or in our church attendance. There's a danger of taking a vacation from God. We have to keep in mind that our God is always watching over us. And our God is as desirous today that you and I live for Him as He is tomorrow. The psalmist said it like this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. And then he says in Psalm 26 and verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. See, there will be a lot of temptations to say, oh, it's a beautiful day. Let's go for a drive, or let's go out and let's go fishing, or let's go and just enjoy nature. But let's keep in mind, God is the one who has designed for His people not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. God is the one who desires for us today to gather together as a church so that we can be reminded of the temptations that are out there, so that we can be exhorted to live godly lives, so that the world will see there is a difference. We are not a part of the darkness, but we are light because of the light that shines through us. We do not blend in, but we are the salt of the earth. We think in terms of the way in which we oftentimes design for things to work out. Say, okay, well, Lord, then if I make this commitment now, then that means I'm not going to have any temptations. Everything's going to be fine. I'm not going to have anything to worry about. There was a man back in July of 1924 who found himself in a race. This particular man was there in the stadium. Really the underdog. No one thought he was going to win. No one thought he had a chance in that 400 meter race. But he was determined to do his best. He was Scotland's fastest sprinter. He had been their hero. He was the one who had won every 100 meter race that he had run since beginning of his early running career. He'd actually won a spot on the 100 meter British Olympic team. But, much to the surprise of his country, when he found out that the finals were scheduled for a Sunday, he told them he would not be participating because that was a day of worship and rest. He wasn't going to run in that race, even if he was his country's only hope of winning an Olympic gold medal. The Scottish people were very angry with him, writing all kinds of bad things about him in the newspaper, some calling him a traitor, but he stood firm. He had never run on a Sunday, and he never would, not even for an Olympic gold medal. And so, with a few weeks remaining before the Olympics began, he trained and qualified for another race. It was not scheduled on a Sunday. And he knew his chances of winning the 400 meter race were extremely slim because two of the runners in the race had both set world record times. And in addition to that, on the day of the race, he was assigned the worst lane. But a note in his pocket put a smile on his face. His team trainer had given it to him before he left his hotel room, and that note read, "He who honors him, God will honor." And he knew his decision not to run on Sunday would be honored by God. And as he rounded the turn on the track where all of the runners normally would have come together, he knew that he would see the world record holders all there ahead of him. But as he arrived, he was alone. So he threw his head back and ran, pumping his legs as fast as he could. He crossed the finish line, winning the gold medal, setting a new world record. The newspapers now tried to outdo each other, singing his praises. But Eric Little knew that their praise would not last long, because shortly thereafter, he was going to announce his plan to stop running and to go to China to tell people about Jesus Christ. Would have been very convenient. Just a little race. Just one Sunday. There's 51 other Sundays in the year. I can go to church on all those Sundays. No, you see, there was a man who was determined he was going to live godly. Even though it was going to cost him the possibility and probability of winning a gold medal in that race, but yet God turned it for his honor and for his glory. You see, problems in our lives, trials and struggles, give God the opportunity to show himself strong. So at the end of this summer, may God help each of us to have a testimony that could be said as David wrote in Psalm 17, "Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not."